Turn it up.
Get ready.
You're tuned in to VO Buzz Weekly.
The show where aspiring voice actors,
established VO pros,
and curious fans alike get to meet and learn.
From the mega successful talent in voiceover.
Hear their personal stories.
Find out how they became so successful.
Learn their secrets and join them at the top.
Seriously Buzzed with your hosts, Chuck Duran and Stacey J. Aswan.
Hey everybody, I'm Stacey J.
And I'm Chuck Duran.
Welcome to another amazing episode of VO Buzz Weekly.
Yep, and we have on the show today the awesome Lorraine Newman.
She was
one of the original cast members of Saturday Night Live, one of the Coneheads. How cool is that?
She's
on the show
so,
today.
So great.
We love her.
Love her. Hey, before we go to Lorraine, we want to tell you about this really cool event we're attending on April 27th.
We're special guests.
We are special
guests.
That's
right.
It is the VO Peeps Meetup, this incredible group that Anne Ganguza, we love Anne.
Love Anne.
Has formed, and she asked us so graciously to come and be the guests. We're so excited. It's April 27th. For those of you that are not able to be in Orange County, California, or weren't able to get a ticket because it sold out, she is a rock star because she's doing a live Ustream, a live feed, so it's kind of like you're going to be there.
That means that you could watch it no matter where you're at.
Exactly. Except you won't be able to taste her husband's incredible food.
But we'll tell you if it's good or not.
Yeah, we'll hold it up.
We've heard great things about it.
He's an incredible chef. Yeah.
Yes.
So go to vopeeps.com and you can get all the details, and we will see you there on April 27th.
That's right. And right now, we're going to go to our little buddy here, Lorraine Newman.
Yay! Our guest is one of the founding members of The Groundlings and one of the original members of the cast of Saturday Night Live. She has been creating memorable characters both on camera and behind the mic in films like Wreck-It Ralph and Dr. Seuss's The Lorax, TV shows like The Fairly Odd Parents and As Told by Ginger. Get ready, you guys. We're about to get buzzed with the amazingly talented actress, writer, and editor, Lorraine Newman.
You are very, very famous. Yes, you are. You are famous. I mean, we've told just a few people, you know who you are, that you were going to be on the show, and they were like, no way!
Yeah.
So.
Well, that's very gratifying.
It is gratifying.
And I had
the privilege of working with you
yes,
on your new commercial
yes.
demo.
Don't assume it was her privilege show. She'll have to.
Well, she'll have to say that, but
oh,
I know that I enjoyed
it. It was a privilege.
Cool.
It was.
And it's smoking, so Lorraine's kicking
great.
Major
He's
butt out there.
The copy he wrote was amazing. His process is incredible.
Thank you. Well, you know what? I have a little help from my friends on things like that. So she's pretty brilliant right there.
Well,
that's my secret.
Welcome
ears.
To the Mutual Admiration
yes.
Society.
Yeah. Hey, you know what?
Pick
it's
up your
all
feet,
about love.
Get deep in here. No, but his ear, the thing that
yes.
when I record with him, it's like, how do you hear that? And just when he puts all those layers in to the demo, it's pretty amazing. I mean, that's what decades of ear training will do.
That's right. That's
it's
right.
It's a miracle he can hear it all.
Are you telling me? Yes. We're not even going to talk about
Chuck.
The rock and roll background.
Yeah.
But they know all about that.
Yes. Okay.
So I'm going to get right down to
it's
it.
About you
have
you today, Lorraine.
An amazing on-camera career. Okay, and literally, I mean, Lord, you've been everywhere, and we're going to talk about everything that you've done. But I want to know, and they want to know, and Stacey wants to know, that how did you transition from on camera to voiceover?
Well, I wanted to do it, and I had kids, and I knew that that was the perfect occupation for someone who had kids.
Yeah.
You know, you go into a studio, you laugh your ass off for 2 hours and act stupid, get paid for it, go home, cook dinner. And I had a manager at the time, Lori Gilbert, wonderful, wonderful manager. And she took me to an agent, and I didn't have to make a demo tape, which is a miracle
it
at
a miracle.
The time.
Mm-hmm.
And I auditioned for 2 solid years before I got anything.
Wow.
And I got a series called Hysteria, And I never stopped working since.
Wow.
And that cast, the first cast, you know, my virgin voyage, it was incredible. I mean, whoever's watching this is out there and knows the animation world. It was Jeff Bennett, Rob Paulsen, Maurice LaMarche, Tress McNeil, yep.
Frank
Billy
Welker.
West, and Frank Welker.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And me!
And it was a great experience. We did, I think
that was your first gig.
That was my first series.
What was that like walking? I mean, because it's not like you were a novice to entertainment business, but I mean, this was, what was it like walking into that room with these people?
Well, I knew Tress McNeil from The Groundlings, right. And I had done my first cartoon, which I think was Pinky and the Brain, with Rob Paulsen, Maurice LaMarche. And they assassinated me. They made me laugh so hard. I had, like, just stomach gas, and it was making these embarrassing sounds.
Oh, no.
So they started making, like, fart sounds.
Oh,
and
gosh.
I'm one of the two women in the world that thinks farting is funny.
Oh, so, I am, too.
Oh,
am, yeah.
Okay. Well,
love it.
So I was dying in the session. They were killing me. So that was our introduction to each other. And so it was a, right, it was a nice, like, old home week with them, and then I got to know everybody else, mm-hmm. and it was great. It's voiceover people are the best.
Absolutely.
They are.
Yeah.
They
so
are.
So welcoming. So
we
warm.
Are.
Yeah.
That's really cool, man. So you mentioned just a second ago that for 2 years you auditioned and never got
yes.
a job. What do you think was what happened after that 2 year that you actually?
I took a
changed?
Class with Chris Zimmerman and Charlie Adler.
Mm.
They were my teachers. And they taught me really voice acting. I knew also that I had to broaden that skill because
yeah.
it is different. It's yeah. entirely different. So as I was schlepping my kids all over town, I had gone to Costco, which I think is, it used to be Price Club.
Yes.
And I got these, they have these like big collections of radio plays.
Yeah.
And I bought them. It's like the Bickersons and Mama's Family or whatever it was. I remember Mama. And I would just listen to them, and that was voice acting, mm-hmm. real voice acting. And between Charlie and Chris and that stuff, I really learned it. And I loved it. I love voice acting so much.
But what do you feel that you learned, that you actually got, that made you audition better and maybe get more jobs? What was the little thing that you think helped you a lot?
I think vocalizing size, vocalizing age, mm-hmm. you know, internally feeling it in your body and imagining how it would sound. You know, you do play your emotions when you're an actor,
mm-hmm.
but you have to think about more about how that would sound, you know, because you're not seeing it.
Mm. Yeah.
And it's really fun. And also when you come from sketch comedy like yeah. I do, everything you do is rather broad anyway. And the characters that I've always done are broad. But this is different in the sense that you look at an illustration and you start by physically adapting what that is. And sometimes, and this is something I learned from Bob Bergen, you may want to go...
Who's that?
Yeah. Bob Bergen, he's Porky Pig.
He's done a couple
Bob is
of...
awesome.
Yes.
I love
yes.
that guy.
Yes.
We're not, okay, this
yes.
is not about Bob, though.
I know.
Another
teacher.
He has sat where you are and he's such a dear, dear man.
Yeah, I'm going to start taking his class, too, because I just need to learn a little more.
Wow.
But he told me that sometimes it's good to just go against type, against the visual that you see. And I've done that, and it's gotten me jobs.
Wow. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Like, you know, you see a dainty little, like, pig, you know,
yeah.
it's like, hey, what's going on? You know? Just,
right, right.
It works.
Yeah. You just play the opposite,
the
yeah.
The opposites are funny, yeah.
That's cool.
Do you think, well, how do you think your background in improv and sketch comedy has helped?
Well, again, you know, it is a broad form,
mm-hmm.
and especially because my specialty in The Groundlings and on SNL was characters.
Yeah.
And that is what animation is all about. Improv in the sense that when you do audition for animation, you really don't have a lot of time to prepare.
Right.
So, I mean, when actually you do the work, there is no improv involved. You really can't do that because
yeah.
This is something that takes years to produce. But really, I think it helps in the audition process.
That's really, really cool. And back when you were doing SNL...
Oh, so many girls.
Let me tell you. That was SNL.
Then
when you were really on that thing, it's like you, I mean, when I remember watching it and just going like, oh my God, this is amazing.
Yeah. 1975 to 1980. I mean, that was, for me
anyway.
Absolutely, without
a doubt. And I know that there's people out there going like, yeah. But did I read right? I thought I read that you created most of your characters. Is that true?
Oh, yeah, we all did.
You all did?
I mean, well, there were some that the writers would write and then you create what the writers wrote.
Yeah.
But, you know, you have to
like Sherry the Valley Girl.
That was from The Groundlings. That's a character I created at the Groundlings.
And I don't know. I feel like that was sort of the first embodiment of that kind of
the Valley
speech.
Girl?
Yeah.
No, it was. It was the first Valley Girl.
You were the first Valley Girl ever.
Yeah.
See that?
I mean, it's great.
We have the first right here on Feel Buzz Weekly, man. This is cool.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I grew up here, and I grew up hearing that kind of speech, and I just really wanted to do that kind of character. And I often saw them in the occupation of being stewardesses.
Right.
But I was always fascinated that, you know, they would drop their ing endings, and instead of saying really, they'd say Rolly. And like super is like, I'm super self-conscious. And,
yeah, that
you know,
song
instead of God, they'd say, Guy, you know, and this is like going way back, you know, because of course it's evolved.
Yeah, it has.
Totally.
It. It's totally, but it's become also pervasive all over the country, which is really interesting.
Wow, yeah. That's
but,
It's interesting to hear the Valley Girl in the Midwest. It's like,
yes.
Really? Okay.
It's a different kind of
I didn't know she lived in Ohio. Yeah.
So very interesting because you just said a second ago that, you know, you're still learning more and you want to learn more and you're going to take a class with Bob Bergen and how classes have helped you. And I meet a lot of people that call me up and say, hey, yeah, I want to do a demo. And I'm like, what's the first thing I need to do to work with you? And I'm like, well, have you taken any classes at all? And they're like, oh. They think voiceover is just like, you know,
voice.
I have this good, cool sounding voice. Mm. And here, the pros like you that sit in that chair always tell us, I'm still learning, man, you know, and I'm in a workout group. So let me ask you, how do you feel as a voice actor that when you take a class or something like that, what do you think that does to you? And does it help you stay inspired? And how does it help you?
Well, you know, I feel that we all can get rusty. And I think every actor has like a trunk, you know, and you open the trunk, it's like, well, let's see, there's the old lady and there's the child and there was the Scottish teenager, you know, and I just feel like my trunk is kind of rusty and I really want to broaden my repertoire. And I also want to be able to broaden my approach to creating characters. And I know there's more approaches out there.
Yeah.
I got tired of me.
She got tired of you.
But I think it's interesting because you are a writer and you did create so many of your characters. When you get the breakdown for a new character for an audition, say, can you kind of describe the process you go through? Do you put on your writer hat or do you put on your actor hat? I mean, what do you do to bring it to life?
It depends. It just depends. Again, you know, there is a physicality that's immediately assumed when you see a character. But it depends on the tone of the writing in the show. Mm. If it's something like for Adult Swim, that's a certain approach. Mm-hmm. If it's Nick Jr. or if it's Disney Jr., that's a different approach. And you imbue it with, you know, the tone of that show. So, and that's, there are different facets of you as a person. Usually when it's something for Nick Jr. or Disney Jr., I imbue it with the mother in me, you know, or even the child in me. And then, you know, the twisted side of me for Adult Swim.
Right.
You know.
Yeah. Plus you can say all kinds of words that we don't say here on VO Buzz
Weekly.
Exactly.
Oh, I'm glad you told me that.
Yeah. Well, we
She's
we
like, well, I can't talk about that.
Yeah, we have a bleeper somewhere
yes, we
around
do.
Here.
We have an amazing editor who cleans people's acts up. If they need to.
They do that on Metalocalypse. Whenever there's cursing, the characters you hear like this guitar go. I love that.
That's awesome. Maybe we'll start doing that.
Yeah.
Hit a big G chord. So what do you do to stay on top of like current trends that are happening right now, whether in animation or commercial?
I go see everything.
You go see everything.
I like to go see everything. And mainly, I mean, I go see everything comedy.
Yeah.
I go to UCB, I go to Groundlings, I go to Largo, I go to the Fake Gallery, I go to, there's a comedy club in the alley in Santa Monica, and I can never remember the name of it. But there's new stuff happening all the time, and I don't do it because I want to see what the kids are doing. I go because I've always loved comedy. Just yeah. because I'm older doesn't mean I've stopped loving it.
Yeah.
I'm curious. Mm-hmm. Also, I'm on the board of San Francisco Sketchfest. Mm. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that is probably one of the biggest and most, I think, really beautifully run alternative comedy festivals in the country. And I am just inspired by that.
That's really
so
cool.
Inspired.
Well, I think it's wonderful that you give back your experience
yeah.
in comedy, and you're helping, you know, you're helping the new era of comedy, but then they're also learning from you, and it's just kind of a nice marriage of the two.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, absolutely.
What are some of your favorite characters that you've created, either live action or in voiceover?
Well, I love Sherry. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned Lena Wertmuller. That always makes me so happy when people like that character.
I remember her, and I feel like she needed, I wanted her more. I wanted to see her more.
What does Sherry sound like?
Sherry is the stewardess. She's a valley girl. She had a boyfriend, Brad, who, you know, when she came back home, she like broadened her horizons because she traveled the world. Well, at least, you know, from the Valley to New York and the Midwest. And, you know, she felt like, because he laid a patch right outside her window, that he was really immature. But the Lena Wertmuller character I created on SNL, but it's so idiosyncratic and so, like, you know, inside. Yeah. There's characters, David Feldman does a podcast, and Frank Conniff writes a lot of the material for that show. He was from Mystery Science Theater.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I create characters. There's, almost NPR-like characters. The one I did recently was a woman who was kind of sedated because she was schizophrenic, and she's in a fight with the devil, and he has his minions, and I say it's like something like, you think your demons can fight my demons? You have no idea. I'd like you to meet my father. You're a piece of you-know-what! You know, and it's like... they keep evolving.
Yeah.
I like the child psychiatrist, which was created because there was this LA Magazine article about baby moguls.
Yeah, mm.
And me and my friend Carl Gottlieb, who's a wonderful writer, he wrote the screenplay for Jaws. Yeah. We came up with this...
Just a small thing, you know.
Small little feature.
Yeah. We came up with this thing, like, you know, are these the cost overruns for the Jaws 2 promotion? Oh, no! You know, and we gave this to Lorne, you know, just as a joke. And he said, oh, yeah, we're doing that on the show. So, I don't know. There's a lot of characters I like, but I just can't remember them now because I'm old.
Well, I loved, you mentioned hysteria, misinformation.
Oh, yeah. I created that for that show. I mean, they created that
character. Right, right. I loved her, too.
Yeah, you she's, did. Well, I think
what does she sound like? I don't know her.
Well, she's a tour guide, and she just kind of guides people through history, and she's young and cute and pretty and blonde. And, you know,
she was kind of the pre-Jessica Rabbit, kind of like that blonde Barbie looking.
Yeah, I think she was kind of taken from the character that, what is her name, Bonnie Hunt did mm-hmm. in The American President.
What was
where
that?
She's taking the tour guide through the White House. And here's the Lincoln bedroom, and we're walking, and, you know, just ushering them through.
Yeah. Going back to SNL for a second, because I'm such a Rabbit fan. Connie Conehead, of course.
Was insane.
I mean...
She was so cool.
She was like the glam Conehead, which I liked, you know.
Well, I think she was a typical teenager, just trying to fit in, you know, wearing a wig one time to school and trying to convince people that they were from France and, you know, keeping up the lie. The Coneheads were kind of difficult to do because we were doing quick changes
yeah.
and, you know, having to just rip them off our heads. And
oh, man.
I think, you know, all of us, we have, none of the hair grew back on the backs of our necks, you know. And when we had to film that thing.
That was before waxing.
Well, yeah, right.
Yeah. When we had to film that section of the Coneheads going back to Remulac, we filmed us going in our car. It was outside, you know, going and driving down in New Jersey or somewhere. Mm. And the Coneheads were attached with spirit gum. We had never spent more than 2 minutes wearing spirit gum. After 3 minutes, it starts to burn like mad. And we're going through this tunnel, and it's like, oh, my God! You know, it was killing us. So, you know, Jane and Danny, you know, processed that by imbibing certain herbs, and I was like, ah! You know, that wasn't my cup of tea, so I just kind of suffered.
You endured the pain, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that concludes part one with the awesome Lorraine Newman. Stacy and I are hungry, so we got to jet out. But be back next week for part two. It's going to be awesome.
You don't want to miss it. Between now and then, keep up with us on Facebook, Twitter, and Pinterest at VO Buzz Weekly. You guys take care, and just remember, you always have time for a little buzz.
Don't just listen to VO Buzz Weekly. Watch the show in stunning HD video at VOBuzzWeekly.com, on their YouTube channel, or on the app.
VO Buzz Weekly is sponsored by Chuck Duran's
Demos That Rock.
Rock.
The voiceover demo producer to the stars is now available to you.
Visit DemosThatRock.com
and take your voiceover career to the next level.
See you next time. And remember, you always have time for a little buzz.